Corinthians 13.
Praise God.
You say that one more time?
Say that again?
What?
1 Corinthians 13. We're going to pick up in our study of love, that love that comes from God.
Amen.
That love that is foreign to this world. That love that not one of us was born with. Now let's read verses 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself."
Amen.
"Is not puffed up." Now, for those of you who haven't been with us, when you see the word charity, it is the word love.
Yes.
So, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. This agape love, as it means, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, which is where we'll be today, thinketh no evil.
Yes.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Yes.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This love, this charity, this love which comes from God, which should be in you if you're a Christian, the next two words, never fails. It does not fail. So understand that throughout this entire study. Every one of these characteristics, these virtues of this love, this charity, this agape love, they don't fail.
Amen.
In Christ.
That's right.
And if the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you, if you are in Christ, then the Scriptures teach us indicatively that that charity, that love is in you. If it's in you, then it can't stay bottled up. It must be conspicuous. Amen. To be conspicuous is that it must come out of you.
Yes, amen.
And so that is what we should all possess as Christians if we're children of God. You can't be a Christian without it.
Yes, amen.
And that's the truth of God's word. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we lift up your great name this morning. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that in his life and ministry, in his death, in his sufferings, he perfectly and beautifully demonstrated this love. He's the only man who ever perfectly lived it in this world and without sin. Father, we exalt him today. I pray you would teach us, as the Apostle Paul writes this passage to the Corinthian church, I pray that you would teach us today in the year 2021. Help us, Father. We need you. Father, we cannot walk this Christian life in and of ourselves.
Yes.
We must have your spirit. We must have your power. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through 1 Corinthians 13, I find myself asking myself, I hope you do this. This is how you grow and mature in the Christian life. I hope that as you hear these things, these virtues, these excellent qualities of this love that comes from God, this charity, I hope you're asking yourself at different times during the day about your reactions and about your proactions, about your conversations with people. I hope you're asking yourself, was that loving? Was that actually loving the way I reacted? Was that actually loving the way that I navigated through traffic? Was I actually demonstrating agape love when I was in the store?
Amen. That's right.
And so I hope you're asking yourself that. I've been asking myself that. Now, I'll report to you this, that I wasn't always. And I had failed. See, that's one of the things that God does with His Word. If you've taken it and you've taken the good seed and cultivated it in your heart, then you'll think about it when you leave here, when you leave the service. But if you expunge your mind of everything that you've heard when you leave and you go back out into the world and you forget about everything, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 13, the fowls of the air go and pick up the good seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed.
That's
the
right.
Seed is good.
Amen.
What's wrong is so often us. Our hearts are hard and callous, and we don't think about what we've heard from the truth of God's word, and then we don't do anything with it. That's not the Christian life, beloved, and I pray that we haven't done that. In all of my actions and inactions or interactions, and in my conversations throughout my everyday life, am I showing agape love? Are you showing agape love, Christian? Is agape love coming forth from Christ in me, in you? If the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you, which the Scripture says is true of you if you're a Christian, then that love should be flowing forth out of you. Now listen, when God saves a sinner, no one is instantly and completely mature in the faith. We grow in grace. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter that when God saves a sinner, they're a baby initially. They're babes. So you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. If you're not drinking any milk, you're not going to grow. If you're not eating the book, then you're not going to mature in the faith.
That's
you're
right.
not going to know the things that are written in the Word of God that ought to be in you.
Amen. That's
and
right.
so our faith needs to take hold of the truth of God's Word. Listen, we believe in a person. We believe in that person by faith in His holy Word. Jesus Christ is the Word.
Yes.
Amen. So we have faith in Him. You hear people talking about faith, and some people talk about faith as if it is something that is in and of itself alone, it just stands out there. We don't just have faith in nothing or faith in faith. We have faith in a person.
Yes.
We have faith in the truth of God's
Amen.
Word.
Amen, yes.
So it's not just something that we say, some Christian mantra. Listen, lost people have faith. When they go to school and they're taught about the science of water or the science of air, when you read your science textbook, it tells you that there's so many atoms that makes up water, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. And you see water. You know that air is made up of oxygen. You don't see it, but you have faith to believe that what the science book says is right. And you can't see God.
Right.
But do you have faith in what God's book says is right?
Yes.
And I pray that you do. In this thing of love, brethren, if you were a Christian without agape love, then you unchristian the truth.
Right, amen.
You unchristian the truth.
Amen.
Now listen, be assured, Christian, that as we spoke of Wednesday night, the devil is always at hand, and his desire is to unchristian you or to ungospel you. He wants you to lose your witness. If there's anything he wants in you, he does not want you to possess this agape love. And listen, one of the devil's often used methods or wiles is to find something in the world. Now listen, remember this when you're talking about the love that comes from God, this agape love. God wants it exercised in times when it is difficult to exercise.
Yes, amen.
Because it's not really a demonstration of agape love. It is, but it's not when you love someone that it's easy to love them.
Right.
It's easy to love them. But agape is demonstrated when you love someone and it's difficult to love
yes,
them.
Yes.
Like your enemy.
Yes.
Or someone who is trying to push your buttons. Someone who's trying to aggravate you. somebody who's trying to get you angry, that's when this radical other world love is really seen.
Yes.
And listen, one of the devil's often used methods is to find something in the world that you feel very strongly about and to find someone that doesn't agree with your subjective opinion in the church.
In the church, amen. All right.
And he wants you to disagree with them, and he wants you to not demonstrate love
right,
to them.
Right, yes.
He wants that to come to the surface, and he wants to cause a division between you or your brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
That's his fiery dart. You know, he has fiery darts that he fires into your mind to incite you, to provoke you, to stir you up. Now listen, the devil can't make you do anything. He is not a sovereign. All he can do is influence you, and he influences you in here.
Yes, amen.
That's where he influences you. He can't make you do anything.
Amen.
So I want you to remember that in regard to this agape love. If you take the bait, his work is done. He'll lead you to your own devices.
Amen.
And while he's got you distracted, in the church, by the way, he'll gather up the good seed that you should be gathering up for yourself. But you're distracted on something that's foolish and trivial and probably has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's good.
He'll be ready right after the service as well to get your mind focused on anything else but the Word. Listen,
amen.
Satan's most active time, and I want you to listen loud and clear, Satan's most active time for some is right now.
Right.
He wants you to be someplace else in your mind.
Right.
Or he wants you to do this.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to go to sleep.
Right.
Now, with some of you, perhaps, Satan has no work to do at all because you're listening to the Word, you're listening to my voice, and you're saying, that's just stupid. So Satan leads you by yourself. You're your own worst enemy.
Amen.
So be very careful. Listen, what should be spiritually normal for you if you're a Christian is that you think and act upon the Word that is preached on the Lord's Day, and you take care of it. You hide it in your heart. Turn to Psalm 119. Turn there. Psalm 119.
Yes. Amen.
We're not actually to the text yet, but I want to have your hearts prepared so that when you receive the text, that you can be serious about it. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. The psalmist here, wherewithal shall a young man or young woman or middle-aged man,
right,
middle-aged woman, old man, old woman, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word?
Yes.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, here's what God wants you to do with the word. He wants you to hide it in your heart.
Yes, amen.
That I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
That's what we need to do, beloved, with the Word.
Yes.
Now, Christian, this is how you grow and mature in the faith of Christ and in agape love. And it's what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. You grow by believing what is written in the Word of God. You may not understand it. We read many things in the Word that we don't understand on the surface. But we need to be like Bereans and study the Scriptures,
amen,
whether those things
right,
are so.
Amen.
We need to ask God to conform us to the image of Christ.
Yes.
Here, that His love would be in me, in you, and that it would come forth from your life. Listen, if God's love is in us, should it not come out of us? It should come out of us. Listen, we don't hide the Word in our hearts to hide it and forget where it was, or hide it where no one can see it. The word hide here means keep it safe.
Right.
So that we can draw upon it. That's what it means.
Right.
It doesn't
Amen.
Mean to hide it and put it out of our sight. And so, beloved, that's what we need to do. That's how we grow and mature in the faith
Amen.
Of Christ.
Yes.
And when it comes forth from us, this agape love, then we will obey God's truth and we will begin to be long-suffering and patient. See, this is one of the characteristics of agape love in you. You're patient. You're long-spirited. You're not short-fused. You're long-suffering, you're patient, and you know what? You're kind. That's one of the most prominent characteristics of this love. You're kind.
Yes.
And as Paul goes on, you don't vaunt yourself. You know what it means to vaunt yourself? It means to be a braggart. You talk about yourself. You ever around somebody that talks about themselves all the time? Anybody ever been guilty of talking about themselves? Well, I have. And it's wrong. It shows us to be bankrupt of this agape love. So when we grow, we don't vaunt or brag about ourselves. We don't pridefully boast about ourselves.
Yes.
And when we behave disgracefully, selfishly, then we aren't demonstrating what this agape love should be. Christ is to be being formed in you, Christian, more and more with every passing day. Look, it's understandable that a child's going to make mistakes and you got to train them up in the way they should go. So it is understandable when young Christians make mistakes. They need to be trained up in the way they should go. But the older you get in the Lord, you shouldn't be making those same mistakes.
Amen.
Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted like a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things.
Amen.
And so, yes. As we grow, beloved, we are to be becoming more mature in the faith. Christ should be being formed in us more. You should be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, with that, 1 Corinthians 13:5, go there. 1 Corinthians 13:5, we get to two characteristics today. But the first, Paul says, charity or agape love is not. Remember, the second eight things, the first two things were positive. Charity is this. Charity is patient. It is long-suffering. It is long-spirited. Charity is kind. The next eight characteristics or attributes of charity are in the negative. This is what it's not.
Right.
So Paul teaches us what it is by teaching us what it is not.
Yes.
And we learn like that very often. So 1 Corinthians 13:5, charity or agape love is not easily provoked.
Yes.
Now, I don't really need to expound that. You know what that means, don't you? It means the very opposite of the first characteristic is long-suffering. Long-suffering, patient. So listen, if you're someone who is easily provoked to anger, it doesn't matter whether you know it. Everybody that lives around you knows it. If you're not long-suffering,
amen.
So often we don't see our own sins, but everybody else does.
Yeah. Amen.
They see it. So here, if agape love is in you, the older you become in the faith, the less you should be easily provoked to anger. See, agape love is not easily provoked or irritated. Not easily irritated. Agape love is not quick to anger or quickly exasperated. You fly off the handle right away when something happens. Now, I don't have to ask, has anyone ever been guilty of that here? Because I know every one of you have. We've all been guilty of it from time to time. But when we're in Christ and we possess this agape love, my Bible is teaching me that if Christ is in me, that should not be me.
That's right, amen.
So again, how often do we ungospel ourselves and betray Christ by how quickly and simply we react to something or someone in the world when as Christians our reactions should be completely opposite to that. We are to not be easily provoked to anger, provoked rather to anger. And that's the reaction of agape love. Now listen, you need to be doing some diagnosis while I'm preaching. And that's what you should do. You should be saying, is this me? Lord, I need help. Lord, I need grace.
Yes, amen.
Father, I believe your word, and so this is what I want to be. Listen, we need to be willing servants of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Not kicking and screaming servants of Christ when he gives us his word.
Right, amen.
Now, if we're honest with ourselves, there's some kicking and screaming in a lot of us. And so, beloved, we need God to help us. We need his grace.
Yes, amen.
Look, let me show you some passages. Ecclesiastes 7:9, turn there. And where there's two or three witnesses, it helps us to see that this is not the attitude of a Christian. This is not what we should be. And I want you to think right now in your mind. Think about this right now in your mind now as I'm preaching, because we're talking about charity is not easily provoked. So I want you to think about what it is in your life that easily provokes you. And I'll give you an opportunity for you to exercise charity in that situation or toward that one.
Amen.
That perhaps is easily provoking you.
Yes, amen.
Ecclesiastes 7:9, notice, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. That's somebody who's easily provoked. Be not hasty. You know what hastiness is, right? Everybody knows that. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And you know why this person gets angry quickly? Because it rests in their bosom.
Right.
In the bosom means it's in you. You're always kind of smoldering. And so when somebody does something, you fly off the handle.
Amen.
And so that's what the wise man Solomon is telling us here. Turn back to Proverbs 12:16. Solomon again. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Turn back there. 12 and 16. He says here, a fool's wrath is presently known. So a fool is one who is easily provoked.
Yes.
But a prudent man covereth shame.
Yes.
And then 14:17 of the Proverbs 14:17, again, Solomon speaks, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly.
Right.
Soon angry. Anger is your first reaction. And so, beloved, I pray you would consider James chapter 1. Don't turn there, but listen. James says, let everyone among you, let every man, let every woman among you be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Yes, amen.
Slow to wrath.
Amen.
Listen, this is an attribute of our God, and we should be as our Heavenly Father. And the Bible says over and over again in the Old Testament of God that he is what? Slow to anger. He's slow to anger. And that's how we should be. No. Once again, here, Paul teaches us what agape love is by what it is not.
Yes, amen.
Now, when you're provoked to anger, the love of Christ, when you're provoked. Now, listen. You need to, and I need to, be able to not sin when provoked.
Yes, amen.
You're going to be provoked. Everyone's going to be provoked from time to time, stirred to anger. But the love of Christ should be what comes forth from your life. The reaction of agape love is not anger, but go back to some of the initial qualities of love. It's patient.
Yeah.
It's kind. It's gracious. It's courteous.
Yes, amen.
Is what this love is. And listen, by these you can see how beautifully each virtue, each characteristic of agape love harmonize together. They beautifully harmonize together. You can't possess only one of them.
Amen.
You can't just be patient, but then rude and proud. You can't be long-suffering. You can't just have one of them. Agape love comes all packaged together.
Right. Amen.
Remove one virtue and agape love and every aspect and attribute of it is compromised.
Right. Amen.
Remove long-suffering, remove patience, and the result is impatience and intolerance and a short temper. Remove kindness and rudeness ensues.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Remove humility and meekness, and vaunting and pride is at the door. I want you to know that word, vaunt. To vaunt yourself is to be a braggart, to be proud.
Amen.
Remove graciousness. Remove comeliness. Remove good conduct and good communication, and in comes disgrace and an ugly spirit. Remove selflessness, and there will be selfishness. Selflessness is putting everyone else first.
Man.
Selfishness is putting you first.
Right.
And so, beloved, when we are easily provoked to anger, we are demonstrating a want or a lack of every excellent virtue of love. Now, I'm going to give you one example, one primary example in King David. And what I want you to see in one passage, go to 1 Samuel 24. What I want you to see in one passage is David showing this virtue of not being easily provoked. But I want you to see him being provoked. But I want you to see him actually coming forth from this being provoked by his adversary. And I want you to see that though he struggles a bit, he comes forth shining as gold. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now, you ought to know the story that David was in exile from Israel for most of Saul's reign as king.
That's right.
Saul chased him and hunted him down. In verse 16 of chapter 24, Scripture says, well, I'm not going to read the whole thing because of time's sake, but Saul went into a cave to rest himself.
Yes.
And David and his men were hidden in the dark places of the cave. And Saul sat down there and rested himself. And David's men said, you got him now.
Right, right. Amen.
Kill him.
Yeah.
Kill your enemy. So the provokers were those that were his contemporaries. They were with him.
Yeah.
So David says, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, I am not going to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. But in what David should not have done is went over and cut off a piece of his mantle, his robe, his kingly cape, or whatever it was. He cut it off. But he would not harm Saul. And Saul got up and went out of the cave. And that's where we pick up in verse 16. It came to pass, this is after Saul saw David, and it says, it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this the voice of my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. That word good means you have rewarded me kindness. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. He says, and thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, kindness again. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. So Saul said, I have attacked you. I have hunted you. I have thrown my javelin at you and tried to kill you, and you rewarded me good.
Yeah.
And I have rewarded you evil.
Amen.
He says, and then listen to what Saul says. He says, this is not natural. It's not normal. And listen, I say this to tell you that the love that comes from Christ is not normal. And Saul says this right here. He says, for if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away?
Right.
Normal people don't let their enemies go.
Right.
Like this. He recognizes that what David has done is not normal. And understand, David was not a normal man. David was a man after God's own heart. And so he says, people don't let their enemies go like this. Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. What a commendable passage about David. That he did that. You know why he was able to do that? Because God was in him. David, a natural man, like some of the sons of Belial that were with him in the cave, Saul's head would have been on the tip of his spear. He'd have killed him. Now, we go a few days forward. 1 Samuel 25 tells us that Samuel died, Samuel the prophet. Remember, at this point, David's already anointed to be king, but he has not taken the throne. He had to wait for Saul. He had to wait for God to do what God would do with Saul. He had to wait for God to basically have Saul killed. David saw golden opportunities, but he would not kill Saul. Now, here's David, the same man that showed this unnatural love for Saul and not killing him in 1 Samuel 25. Notice there, this is when Samuel sent his men to Nabal. Nabal was a man of Israel who was a very rich man. He was a great man. David's soldiers protected Nabal's fields from the Philistines, from the enemies. So David sent his men to Nabal in the day when they were shearing sheep. When they sheared sheep, they were actually having a feast. They had food. They had a lot of provisions to go around. So he sends his men. He says, go to Nabal and tell Nabal, thy servant David. See how he humbled himself? Thy servant David, we ask you if you'll give us a little food and help us. Because we're needy. The Bible tells us Nabal flew upon him in a rage. Flew upon those men that went there. Who were very good examples because they didn't answer a thing to Nabal. They turned back and they went and told David what Nabal said. And that's what we pick up in verse 13. Now remember what we said. Charity or agape love is not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Verse 13. Look at it there. 1 Samuel 25:13. When David heard from his men what Nabal said, here's his reaction. Verse 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So 400 warriors are following their angry captain. And why was David going to go up to Nabal's house? Because he got his feelings hurt. Because Nabal said some pretty bad things about him. He was easily provoked here. He said, the next few verses says that Nabal's servants went to Abigail and said, hey, you need to know something. David sent men here to ask for some provisions. And Nabal, our master, your husband, flew upon them in a rage. And they said, you better figure out what you're going to do because David's going to come down here and he's got bad intentions. And so Abigail, verse 18, made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses.
And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. And she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode down on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. It's a brave woman. Now David said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellow half in the wilderness, so that nothing at all was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So do more also, so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave at all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. Translation, we're going to kill every one of the males. We're going to cut off this man's house. David was angry, and he was sinfully angry. See, David was provoked to anger here. And so he was going to go, and he was on a mission of personal vengeance. And he was going to kill Nabal and all his family. Now let me present something to you here. Let me make an application. Could it be because David was constantly prepared against Saul's hatred that he behaved so well with Saul? Now think about that. If you prepare your heart and you know that you're going to be around someone that's going to push your buttons, you can prepare for that person. And you can get yourself ready. You can pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me while I am around this person. And listen, you need to pray like that. If there's somebody that you get around that easily provokes you, you need to ask God for grace so that you would demonstrate agape love when you're around that person. Because you know what? Some of them are in your society. They're in your family. They're around you all the time. You can't get away from them. But you should want to show love to them. You should want to show them the love of Christ. So David was prepared for Saul. But now he was caught in an unguarded moment. He reacted because he didn't have his heart ready. And the result was, he was easily provoked to sinful anger. Now, I want you to see how important it is, beloved of God, Christians, for you to never let your guard down. Because you know what? In any day, something unexpected is going to happen in your life. There's going to be those times. And that's why you need to be in the Word. You need to be seeking the Lord and asking God to help you and prepare you for when you do meet a Nabal and he does insult you. He does say some really nasty things about you when people say things about you. Here David reacted in sinful anger. We see some of the other servants of the Lord at times do this. Look at Psalm 106. Let me show you a quick passage here. Psalm 106. This was Moses. And the Bible speaks of Moses, said he was one of the meekest men on the planet. That's said of him in the book of Numbers. And here, they came to the rock, and God told him to go, and water would come out of the rock. And the Bible says that Moses was angered at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they, what? They provoked his spirit. See that? And listen, because of this, Moses would not go into the promised land. They provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And so we see Moses in a time of weakness. Listen, brethren, the more the love of Christ is cultivated in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the more you whelm yourself, whelm is a part of the word overwhelm, we must immerse ourselves, we must whelm ourselves in God's holy and sanctifying word. And the more of God's grace then will be upon you so that you will be prepared and ready when an unguarded moment happens. When all of a sudden somebody does something and you might normally fly off in a fit of anger, but beloved, we need to have this agape love by which we are not easily provoked. And listen, we need to be prepared every day. You need to be prepared when you leave here today so that if you are unexpectedly hit with a side wind, it's a seaman's term for being hit with a wind on the side of the ship or a rogue wave, that you will not be easily provoked. You'll be ready for it. So, beloved, the more you love Christ, the more you cultivate the love of Christ in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, the less apt you'll be to be easily provoked to sinful anger. And listen, you need to put these things need to be put before the Lord. Because listen, when you're out there in the world and you're easily provoked and people know that about you and they also know that you're a Christian, it takes away from your Christian witness. Doesn't really matter what you say. You could have all the right doctrine and all the truth. You could know your doctrine inside, backwards, forwards. But if in your spirit you don't demonstrate Christ, then what you say won't have a whole lot of ground.
Amen.
To it.
That's right.
Won't have a whole lot to it. So charity is not easily provoked. And then last of all, charity or love thinketh no evil. Now this is a difficult one. This virtue or characteristic of agape love is directly linked to not being easily provoked. Your mind and your heart must constantly be in the Word, which keeps you on the spiritual high ground. It is there where you will be safe from the wicked one's attacks. In your mind and in your heart, beloved, that is where you must cultivate the truth of God's Word. You must captivate every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, if you profess to be a Christian, you need to think like one. You need to think like a Christian. But if we're filling our minds up with what's out in the world, and we're filling our mind up with the philosophy of Hollywood, you name it, you're not going to be being trained in your mind to think like a child of God. See, agape love in you will cause you to think the best of others, of your brethren, of neighbors, of strangers, and to not have a constant judgmental and critical spirit or always think the worst of others. Listen, it's natural in the world for you to see something about someone and to think the worst of them initially. How often do you first think the best of someone? Give them the benefit of the doubt. See, that's how we ought to think as Christians. I give you an example. Remember Job? The Bible says he was a perfect and an upright man. This is God. God said this. God told Satan that. Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. A perfect and upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. He shuns evil. And God says, have you noticed? He still holds fast his integrity. Though God loosed Satan upon him, God moved the hedge. But look at Job chapter 4. Three of his closest friends, you would have thought, who knew him, think of this in your own society. Here Job knows these three friends, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad. Mm-hmm. His confidants, his friends, they came out with him knowing that he was in a trial and affliction. They came out to him, and instead of them thinking the best of him, and we're just going to read a couple of little snippets. You read the book of Job and you know this. They thought the worst of him. And you know what? They were wrong. Now when you read the words of Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, the things that they say are in very deed true, but they are also misapplied to Job. They sat before Job as critical, rash judges, and they accused him of things that were not true at all. How often do we just believe something that's hearsay about someone that we've heard? And we start developing our own opinions and judgments against someone, and we know nothing about it. Charity doesn't do that. Thinketh no evil. Agape love thinks the best of others first. And it holds off taking and making opinions. Listen, here's where, beloved, we need to ask God for much grace to form our minds after what love is. Look at it, Job chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite, first one to answer, he said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? He says, we could sit here and shut up, but I mean, come on, it's clear as day why you're in this situation. Look, behold, thou hast instructed many and hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was failing or fallen. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees, but now it has come upon thee and thou faintest. Now it toucheth thee and thou art troubled. Rash judgment. They said, is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? And then they said, listen to this accusation. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, and where were the righteous cut off? They tell him, Job, you're a wicked man. That's why this is happening to you. Look at chapter 5. Just look at the beginning of chapter 5. Eliphaz goes on. He says, call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. And so they continue to go on in their discourses, telling Job that he's in this case because of his sin. Again, how often do we immediately think evil of someone for reasons which we do not know to be true? Because of something that we heard about them, or because of something that we perceive about them? You ever just look at something and you think, yeah, I know what's going on there. You heard the saying, perception is reality? You heard that? That's a lie. It may be true sometimes, when you perceive things, but he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Yeah. We need to be careful of thinking that we know things about others and think the worst of them before we really know. Listen, this happened to godly Hannah. You remember Hannah in 1 Samuel? You remember she went into the temple? You remember she was barren? She couldn't have any children? And you remember she went to pray? And you remember what Eli did? You remember Eli the priest? She went into the temple, and the Bible teaches us she was praying and she was moving her lips. But he couldn't hear her. You've moved your lips like that before, nobody could hear you. And you know what Eli did? He called her a drunken woman.
Right. Amen.
He perceived. How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine. You're in the house of God. She says, oh no, my Lord, I am a woman of bitter spirit. I'm praying unto the Lord. So he made a rash judgment about Hannah. And he was completely wrong. Charity thinketh no evil. Listen, if we react in our own personal community of brethren and friends, you have that. Every one of us has a community of friends and family. If we react like Job's friends did toward him in his affliction, or the way Eli did toward godly Hannah, it is because we are woefully wanting in agape love. The result of being thus spiritually bankrupt is we will be harsh and critical judges. We'll think the worst of people instead of the best. Listen, that's what we should think the best of others.
Amen.
Remember what happened to the apostles? Last example. Remember the apostles? Filled with the Holy Spirit. The initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. And there were many people in that meeting that looked at the apostles and said, they're drunk. They couldn't have been more wrong.
Yes.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. Thought they were drunk because they were speaking in other languages. And they were wrong. Peter says, oh no, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, we may see somebody who's spiritual walking with God. That should never make us think evil. Here, these that looked at them and thought evil of them were thinking evil of a work that God was doing. So we need to be real careful. Jesus said, judge not according to appearance. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we need to remember that, beloved of God. Look at 1 Timothy, just one place. Go there, I'll read Psalm 15 to you. But the scriptures are replete with examples. Psalm 15:3 says, or 15:1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Let me translate for that. Who will dwell in your presence, Lord? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. He that does not backbite with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor, listen, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. Means to slander someone. And you know why someone will take up a reproach against their neighbor? Because they were thinking about it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is
Amen.
He. So we need to be very careful. And then 1 Timothy, I want you to see a word of 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're there. Verses 3 to 5. Paul's talking about servants. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and then you see those two words, evil surmising. Evil surmisings are groundless suspicions or opinions that come from a faulty critical mind.
Amen.
Evil surmisings. That shouldn't be us. If agape love is in you, you should think no evil. And if agape love is in you, the love, agape love, should be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And if that is the case, you will think the best and not the worst of others. Listen, if you are thinking evil, or if you're going to think evil of someone, let me say that. If you're going to think evil of someone or judge someone very critically, here's the way you should do it. Go look in the mirror. You'll find enough in you to judge critically of your own sins. And when you see them, then turn from your sins. Be honest about, we need to be honest about our own hearts and our own lives. Listen, we'll find more than enough sin and evil in our own hearts to censure and be critical of. More often than not, we hypocritically judge others for sins that we ourselves are guilty of. How often do we look at somebody and we judge them and we're doing the same thing? Paul said that in Romans chapter 2. He said, he told the Jews, you're inexcusable for judging others. And he says, you do the same thing. So
Listen, be careful of being a judge all the time. Now, Philippians 4 will close. Philippians 4:8. The book of Philippians, Paul the Apostle to Philippi. So remember, charity or agape love is not easily provoked to sin or anger or ill will. And charity or agape love thinks the best of others, not the worst. Agape love thinketh no evil. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
See, that's where our minds and our hearts need to be. And listen, this takes spiritual discipline. So 1 Corinthians 13:5, charity is not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. And it comes down to this. We'll close. Turn to 13:6, and I'll just read the text, the passage for you. It comes down to this. 1 Corinthians 13:6, charity or agape love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Yes, amen.
So what do you rejoice in this morning? I ask you. Listen, the heart of the Christian looks at passages like this, and if you're honest with yourself, you know that you've failed in this, you've struggled, but you love this. And listen, I have failed and struggled, but you love the Word. This is what you want. You said, yes, Lord, I want to be this. I don't want to think evil, Lord. I don't want to be easily provoked. But Lord, you know what's happened to me. But I don't want to do this. I want to represent you rightly, Father. I want to represent Christ in the world.
Yes, amen.
So I want to demonstrate that agape love. Yes. And you pray and you seek God and you go out the doors and you think about it. And you take the seed and you hide it in your heart and the devil can't get at it. You cultivate it. You make sure the seed's pushed down in the good ground of your heart. But don't, after I say amen, don't forget about it. And don't immediately fill your conversation and your mind with other things, because then that's when the seed's just laying there and you're not doing anything with it. And the fowls of the air, Matthew 13, they come and pick up the good seed. And it's lost. Beloved, you need to do something with the good seed. So in this Lord's Day, fulfill the Lord's Day by honoring Him. Immerse yourself in His Word. Think upon it and obey it. Ask God for ability. Listen, you say, who can do these things? Well, we can't unless God grants us His grace. And so we ask God, Lord, you've commanded this. You've shown us this. So Lord, now give me the ability to fulfill it. And that's what we should desire. Finally, if you're outside of Christ, if you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, you do not possess this agape love.
That's right.
Because
amen.
It doesn't come from the world.
Right.
God must put it in a human. We're all fallen. The Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We have not the love of God. We cannot love God first because He loved us first. And that's what 1 John tells us. We love Him because He first loved us.
Right.
If you've not turned from your sins to Christ, listen, no one has always believed in God. No one has. I've heard people say, I've always believed in God. No.
That's right. That's right.
You might have believed historically, but no one was born the first time
and also a partaker of the second birth. Listen, if you would be a Christian, you must be born again.
That's right. Amen.
And that's when God gives unto you His Spirit. That's when He gives unto you His love.
Amen.
That's what's called salvation, when God saves you from your sins. And that's what we need to be saved from.
Amen.
And so I pray that if you're not saved, you would turn from your sins to Christ this day. If you don't, you'll continue to be a slave to your sin. It'll dominate you.
Amen.
You won't love Christ. You'll love everything but Christ. And so I pray the Lord would help you this day. Help us all to fulfill this word in our hearts, and that God would help us. Let's pray. Let's dismiss. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage in 1 Corinthians. I pray that, Lord, that you would enable us, oh God. I pray that you would grant us the power of your Spirit, Father, in our own hearts and minds. You told us in the book of Luke, the kingdom of God is within you. And Father, if that be the case, then Father, this is who we should be in Christ. You said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is new, Lord. This is the product of the new man, that we possess this love that comes from thee. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. And our greatest desire is that with this agape love, we would bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. And then, Father, that we would be useful for you to do your work in the world among lost sinners. Help us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.